We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio here from the Roswell Infinity Studios. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the incredible John Ray. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Mike, but you forgot something. You're the award-winning Mike Salmon.
Okay.
You forgot that.
Yes.
The awards come so fast and furious, you just forget them, right?
I'm going to officially change my name and put award-winning in there. Yes. I appreciate you bringing that up. Of course, for the Gwinnett Chamber, our Gwinnett studio is the business of the month for October of 2016.
And we're early in October, and there's plenty of time to shout that out, right?
So, and apparently we're going to do that, aren't we?
We're going to do
that. Because if I forget, you're going to remind me.
I'm going to remind you, since you're award-winning.
This will be an award-winning show.
Hopefully so.
We've got three guests lined up to introduce you to today. They are Kurt Hilbert from the Hilbert Law Firm. So we got an attorney in the house. So, you know, behave, John.
Yeah, he's looking at my papers over here. So
Don Cook is with Daybreak Enterprises, and Mike Nolan from Star Asset Security. But we're going to start with Kurt. Before I do that, let me take some business. We're at North Point Executive Suites, and at North Point Executive Suites, we provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need with flexible terms and technology-enhanced turnkey offices. You'll enjoy all-inclusive rentals without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Their service is second to none. Visit their privately owned locations in Alpharetta and in Duluth, or see for yourself. Visit NorthPointExecutiveSuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success. All right, Kurt Hilbert is in the house with the Hilbert Law Firm. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Are you thanking me for being here?
I'm thanking you for being here.
I'm glad
I'm
here too.
And inviting me out of the radio. Well, this is an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're an attorney. Talk about the type of law that you provide and all about your law firm.
Certainly, I appreciate that. We're located in downtown Roswell, Georgia. We specialize in three particular areas: everything real estate, everything business law, and everything employment. And we're a full service firm, so that means both transactional and litigation. We're a boutique. We're smaller than your large law firms from downtown, but we're very community-centered, very community-based, and our ideal clients, if you will, are probably small businesses and startup companies, but we do have larger representation in larger companies as well, and actually some international clients.
Tell me about your background, Kurt, and how long have you had your law firm?
Sure. I actually went to law school at Northwestern University up in Chicago. So yes, I am a transplant. I'm not a Georgia native. I did marry a Southern Belle here, and that's why I'm down here. But I have been practicing since 2001. My firm has been around for 9 years. Before that, I started my own shop. I had the ability to get experience in multiple different law firms, from small to medium to the large size firms. So when I started my firm, I was able to take all of the good things from all of the experiences that I had, put them all together, and create what I consider to be the ideal law firm for the clients. But we're all customer centered. We have flexible fee structures, and basically whatever the customer needs, the customer wants, because that's what we're ultimately here for. We're a service industry.
So Kurt, talk to the small business owner out there about how to choose a lawyer, what they should expect from their business attorney, right? I mean, there are certain professional standards that all attorneys have hopefully hold up to, but what should they be looking for beyond that?
Certainly. Well, when you pass the bar and you get admitted to the courts in Georgia, you take an oath. And that oath is, you know, you have to be professional, you have to be ethical, you have to be a zealous advocate. But typically what's not in the attorney oath is civility. And that, believe it or not. So one of those things, and that's the reason why lawyers always have a rather bad name, is because they go into things and they don't have to be civil to one another or to the client, or to the courts, or to opposing counsel. When you go into your lawyer, you really need to find out if it's a great match for what you need or what they need. If you don't have a rapport with your lawyer, if you don't understand what the lawyer's telling you, and if the lawyer isn't providing options for solutions for you, perhaps you need to find someone else. So in addition to all of the standard things from the ethical standpoint, there's a whole nother side of it as well that you need to look at. And ultimately, it comes down to what are your needs and are your needs getting served by the lawyer?
You talked about some of the types of law that you represent. And it's not the type of law where if you get in trouble, like, it's a criminal offense. You talk about business law and things like that. When should people hire someone like you? I would think it should be before they get in trouble.
That's exactly right.
Preventive law, they call it.
It's preventative law. That's exactly right. And the way I think about it is, if you think you need a lawyer, you need to go get one. and the most important part is, you never want to be on the backside hiring a lawyer after a problem arises, because that's when it costs the most for a client. That's when the lengthy process and the court process and all of that comes into play. If you can, in your business ahead of time, foresee the potential problems that may be coming down the pike at you, that's what you need to go talk to your lawyer about. And literally every single thing in society is touched by the law in some way, shape, or form. Contracts, your lease, your building, your cars, your transportation, your employees, everything touches the law in some way, shape, or form. So it's always better, cheaper, more cost efficient to get to the lawyer first, pay a couple $100 to review your documents before you end up in court at the end of the day.
Now, Kurt, we were talking a little bit about the concept of networking with your attorney. Now, that's not something I think most of our small business listeners are used to hearing about. So I'm really curious about if you can go through that for our folks.
Sure. I appreciate that, John. From my perspective, when you go to your lawyer, yeah, you're going to them to solve a problem. But I think the lawyer has so much more to offer you to your business than just solving a problem. So it goes back to, what has your lawyer done for you lately, kind of thing. Okay. You're paying a lot of money to get legal representation, to get legal advice for your particular problem. But who is better situated, in my opinion, for small businesses or for networking than a lawyer? A lawyer has an extensive laundry list of clients that it has developed over 10, 15, 20 years. And clients, when they come in to ask for legal representation, they don't ask, well, who else do you know in business that you could connect me with to expand my own business? I'm a very big networker. I love connecting the dots for my clients. Why? Because once I introduce them to one another, ultimately, that's going to create more business for me. And if I can create those synergies between companies and opportunities to grow businesses by simply networking clients, that's a very big deal. Lawyers do not do that. Lawyers technically are very, they've got the blinders on, so to speak, and they only want to do their one thing. They want to get in, get out, get paid, and move on to the next client. Well, I look at it much more holistically. I like putting, thank you. That was fantastic. One of the panelists just handed me a business card. you need to use your lawyer for more than just solving a problem. There's no one out there that knows more people than lawyers, because ultimately it's the big secret. When a business has a problem, they go to the lawyer and then they want to hide. But that's not the way it should be. Lawyers should be used to grow your business.
So our next guest is probably, like a lot of listeners, they're not used to hearing the term civility and lawyer in the same sentence, right? So, I mean, by definition, though, if civility is part of your a way of doing business, that really leads itself into networking.
Yes. Let me expound upon that a little bit, and I appreciate you bringing that up again. I have started something called the Roswell Attorney Project in Roswell. There are 226 lawyers that either work, live, or practice in the city of Roswell, which is extraordinary when you think about it. Just a tremendous concentration of lawyers. But none of them, because I referenced the pledge, they don't take a pledge of civility. So what I created was an organization that requires the lawyer members or legal professional members to join the group and take a pledge of civility to one another. So that's an interesting first step that has never existed previously. And I don't think there any other, is another organization out there that does this. But it's all for the benefit of the client, the customer. Because if a lawyer takes a pledge of civility, it's going to cost less to resolve disputes. You're going to be less stressed out. It's going to take a lot less time and effort on the client's part to you know, get through a problem. And hopefully, if there are lawyers on both sides that have both taken a pledge of civility, the time frame of resolving the dispute will significantly be reduced, not only the pricing of it as well. It's a different approach. It's a different look at how you practice law. Many people have the misconception that you have to hire a bulldog attorney, someone who's extremely aggressive, to get the best result. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm not aggressive. I'm extremely aggressive. And my reputation, you know, supersedes me on that. But you can be aggressive and also civil at the same time. There's a difference when you cross a line. There are many attorneys out there that really abuse that line.
Mike, we may need to put Kurt in charge of the next presidential debate.
I'm not sure what he's talking about. He seems like a puppy dog to me. Our guest is Kurt Hilbert from the Hilbert Law Firm here on North Fulton Business Radio. You know, in the Jerry Maguire movie, there's that famous line, "Help me help you." So stay with me, Kurt, on this question. How can you help your lawyer help you? What can your clients do that will help you help them?
Sure. It all comes down to money, okay? When clients come in, the first thing they're worried about is, yeah, I've got this problem. It's very complex. I've got a partnership agreement that exploded, or I've got this landlord that's just being unreasonable, or I've got this problem in my corporation. My employees are, you know, doing all these things that, you know, aren't necessarily proper. How do I solve this problem? But I don't want to pay a lot of money to solve the problem, okay? Mm-hmm. So the question that you're asking me really comes down to dollars and cents. What can the client do when they come to the lawyer to set up the arrangement and the meeting with the lawyer so that it minimizes the cash outlay? Preparation is key. If the customer and the client comes into my law firm, if they have all of the necessary documents already pre-prepared, already put in binders or in folders, and they just don't come in and drop 150 documents on a table and say, hey, you review it and figure it out. Go ahead and figure it out is going to cost a heck of a lot more than someone who comes to the meeting prepared. So first and foremost, that is huge. You are in a partnership with your client. The more the client can do to prepare the case, to give the information to the lawyer, to direct where the whatever the problem resolution is, the more cost-effective the relationship will be.
All right. A lot of our listeners are small business people, owners, executives, people of that kilt. How can your services help the small business people?
Sure. Small businesses, you know, I'm a small business, so I understand what it's like to start a business, how to get it, what you need to do to get a lease, get a building, get employees, and put appropriate documents in place and corporate compliance in place in order to grow your business. So I kind of have a unique approach and way of looking at that because I've lived it. but in addition to that, small businesses should look to us because we have large firm expertise, experience. We're a big box law firm in a very small shop. So you're going to get the level of expertise of a downtown Atlanta law firm in the community of Roswell, which there aren't a lot of firms up in North Fulton that have that kind of experience and background to bring to bear. But small businesses, what are they most concerned about is they take things on a case-by-case basis. They don't have a holistic approach to things. And I always tell them, you know, when you come into me and, they come in and say, I just got sued. What happens? What do I do? First of all, we'll deal with the lawsuit. We'll get you answered. We'll do the defenses, get all that put together. But tell me about your corporate structure. tell me where you are internally. How are you handling these things? You know, for instance, the federal government just in 2014, President Obama just put in a new executive order to completely amend the Fair Labor Standards Act. Small businesses are going to get killed by the new law that has just been put into place that is taking effect this December, 2016. The exemptions no longer apply the way they did in the past. Salaries have raised to the point where if you're not paying, I believe it's $47,476 annually to get an exemption now from the FLSA overtime laws. So you know, small businesses aren't even aware that these things are happening out there. So again, how can the lawyer help beyond just the problem at hand is critical. I always go behind the screen, so to speak, behind the curtain to say, tell me about your business. I want to learn about your business. I want to know what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. How can I help you to position yourself better than where you are right now? And it's not just dealing with this lawsuit at this particular point in time.
So, Kurt, again, back to this civility question, because I'm sure that's gotten some
can't
attention.
You just can't get over that,
well,
can you?
Well, no, I can't get over that.
Lawyers and civility.
The lawyers and civility and all that being in the same concept.
It's like military intelligence. It's an oxymoron.
That's right. And what I find interesting about that, though, you talk about how, you know, sometimes maybe someone hires you and they expect, you know, you to breathe fire and that's going to make it all work. But you talk about things like alternative dispute resolution, having that in your contracts. Talk about that and how that plays into coming out with better outcomes.
Absolutely. When you go to court, it's built in to be an adversarial process. This has gone back hundreds of years back to common law England. And in law, our law schools are predicated on the Socratic method. You're there to attack one another. You're there to basically undermine the other person in any way possible that you can, lawfully, of course. So when you bring
and you're there to win too, and sometimes it's not there's not a clear cut winner. You sometimes got
to
meet.
You have to meet somehow. Sometimes. So how do you avoid that confrontation, that contentiousness that oftentimes comes up in litigation matters? Well, as John said, there's alternative dispute resolution out there. It's called ADR. It's becoming more and more mainstream. There are several different processes. There's mediation process. There's arbitration process. And then there's simple negotiation. I happen to be a certified mediator myself with the Georgia Supreme Court registered. But that's where civility can truly come into play. Small businesses can protect themselves from having to go to court by putting arbitration provisions and alternative dispute mechanisms into their contracts. And what's extremely important is once you get them into your contracts, they become enforceable, binding, and non-appealable. So the benefit to that is twofold. Number one, your disputes are going to be put before someone who's not in court, who is typically likely going to be a lawyer, who has expertise in the area of your dispute, and it'll be over in a very short period of time. And non-appealable. So it doesn't drag on for years and years and years, which can happen in your standard court proceedings. The wonderful thing about the civility of that also is it's a completely informal process. The process itself, you're sitting in a room, you're around a table, you've got an arbitrator or mediator at the end of the table, and both sides come in and they talk about the dispute. It's an informal process. If it's an arbitration, there's evidence just like in court, but the arbitrator takes it very informally. There are no evidentiary rules. Everything is game. And it's up to the arbitrator to determine what's valid, what's not valid, what's relevant, what's not relevant. But you're not there to attack the other people. You're there to prove your case and get a resolution and get a resolution quickly with the most efficient, cost-efficient way to do it. There are some companies out there, I'll just leave them unnamed, but there are arbitration and mediation companies out there that say come to arbitration because it's less costly than going to court. Well, you need to be very careful who you use because there are several companies out there that will charge you a percentage of what you're trying to get as your result or your judgment just to bring the arbitration to begin with. I am not a fan of those particular companies because it's obviously to the detriment of the customers and the clients. If they have to come out of pocket, say it's a $1 million case, and you have to come out of 15% of that $1 million just to bring the arbitration, that's not a win-win for anybody. Not to mention the fact that they're charging hourly rates for the arbitration.
Well, it's a win for the arbitration company.
It's a win for the arbitration company. my perspective is find an arbitrator that you're comfortable with, who has expertise in this area, who's probably a lawyer or a retired judge or someone like that, and actually name them in your contract. Say that all disputes between the parties will go before this particular person. The arbitration will last no more than one day. All of the evidence will be submitted 5 days before the arbitration. The costs and fees of the arbitration will be split equally between the parties, regardless of the arbitrator's award. That's a very fair, civil, and efficient resolution to any dispute.
So, Kurt, you are a small business. You were named a small business person of excellence by the Greater North Fulton Chamber. So, congratulations on that.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate
it. But in the limited time we've got left, though, I wish you'd talk a little bit about some of your activities in the community, because that's, I think that was one reason you got recognized, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yes. I'm not your average lawyer. I try to get as much in the community as possible. I'm currently president of Homestretch, which is the North Fulton Housing Initiative for homeless families in North Fulton. But we also have something called Hilbert's Heroes. One of the things that I was very upset about when I was at the larger firms was they would take money out of your paycheck every month, and it would go into this slush fund, supposedly for charity. And at the end of the year, you never knew where it actually went, who it was benefiting, and you certainly never rolled up your own sleeves and got in the trenches with the people to know where the money was going. So when I started my own firm 9 years ago, I said, you know, I want to see the people. I want to be there. I want to do things. I want to find out who they are. And I don't want to just be stroking checks to people. Although some, obviously, charities need that, I'm more of a hands-on type of a guy. So what we did was we created something called Hilbert's Heroes, and you can go to my Facebook page and see that, as well as our website. We literally help, whether it's financial or otherwise, 70 charities in the state of Georgia. And we literally shut down the law firm one day a month and ask our customers, their family members, as well as our law firm employees and attorneys, to literally go out and do something in service in the community. It's time for folks to give back to the community. I'm a very big believer in this, especially in these uncertain times where we're in on the national level. It all starts at the local level. It all starts, you know, within your own community. And if you're not giving back, and if you're not focused on service, you're not looking at society and looking at yourself in the right way.
Wow. A lawyer with civility and a heart.
Well, I'm inspired.
Yes. No, we joke. Most lawyers are wonderful people, and we have one right here, Kurt Hilbert, the Hilbert Law Firm. For those that would like to find out more about your services and maybe look into using you, having you represent them, how can they find out more information?
Sure. My website is www.hilbertlaw.com. We're also on Facebook. You can find us through Hilbert Law. We're also on Twitter, at Hilbert Law. We also have a Facebook page for Hilbert's Heroes, and I encourage everyone to take a peek and check us out.
Great, great stuff. And thank you for joining us, Kurt.
Thank you so very much.
All right, before we go on to our next guest, let me tell you about Faratech real quick. Faratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offering outstanding customer service. Faratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Faratech products, so you know they stand behind their quality. For more information, visit faratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com. All right, our next guest here, John, on the program from Daybreak Enterprises, it's Dawn Cook. She is an executive coach. And Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. Daybreak Enterprises, you're an executive coach. Tell us what you do.
Well, I offer executive coaching, consulting, and training to small and medium-sized businesses in the area. And it's anyone who's interested in developing their employees to be better. I specialize in emotional intelligence because research has shown that better emotional intelligence leads to better leaders, which leads to better performance. So we like to prove that every day.
Sounds very civil. Tell us. tell.
You know, it is very civil. And it was all I could do not to jump in on this conversation because you are exactly talking about attorneys with emotional intelligence. So I'm thrilled to hear that, actually. So Kudos to you.
Well, break that down a little bit more. What do you mean by emotional intelligence?
Okay, thank you for asking. It used to be that no one had ever heard of it, and now at least people have heard of it, but they don't necessarily know what it means. So emotional intelligence is the art and science of being smart with emotion. There are four components. The first one is self-awareness. Do I know what I'm feeling in the moment and why I'm feeling it? The second one is self-management. Okay, so I have these emotions. Now what do I do with them to be productive? The third is social awareness. Am I aware of what's going on with other people's emotions? And the last one is relationship management. How do I navigate those conversations effectively when someone else's emotions might be getting in the way?
So, Don, why focus on emotional intelligence among all the different ways you could craft your practice? Why focus on that particular expertise?
Great question. There has been research upon research that's proven emotional intelligence is responsible for about 80% of our success in the world. And if you think about it, if you were to think about who in your life has been instrumental in motivating you or incenting you to perform, they probably, the first thing you're probably going to say is not, well, they knew what they were doing. They were a know-it-all and they didn't really care about my opinion. You know, you're going to say someone who was not only a visionary, but someone who was empathetic and they really took your information or your ideas to heart. So they made you feel respected and understood. That's part of being emotionally intelligent.
So is that something that you're born with? Can you develop it? I assume you could.
I hope you could develop it, or Dawn's wasting a lot of her
time.
Right,
that's right. That's
my
right.
My business will go bankrupt.
Mike and I need all the help we can get. So,
yes, you absolutely can develop your emotional intelligence, unlike your IQ, which stops developing around age 25, because that part of the brain that's responsible for that stops developing.
Wow, so, that explains a lot. Okay.
It really does.
Well, the good news is, yes, you can keep, it's not that you can't keep getting smarter, because you can keep adding technical knowledge to your IQ, which is how you store and process it. But the emotional intelligence piece, or EQ as we call it, can be developed way into your 60s and 70s. And I guess after that point, we just don't care. But I'll give you an example of how you can develop it. Have you ever been around someone who pretty much it was their way or the highway and they just didn't really listen? They really, oh, we're pointing fingers in here.
Thank God it's radio, huh?
And so your opinion just didn't matter, right? And if that person wanted to influence you to do something, were you eager to get on board or were you resistant? Probably a little resistant, right? So they were demonstrating a lack of empathy. They really didn't care about what your opinion was or how you felt about something. So what I do is if I have a leader who's like that, I can help them recognize that they are shutting down their employees when they do this and have them do a really simple technique, which I call ARC, ask, reflect, confirm. Ask to make sure you understand what their position is. Reflect back to say, this is what I'm hearing you say, and potentially even how you feel about it. Because people like to know that what they've been heard, their emotions have been heard, and then let them confirm that you actually understood. That's a very simple, effective technique for empathy. So just by doing that, you raise your emotional intelligence.
We're talking with Don Cook with Daybreak Enterprises here on North Fulton Business Radio. And we're talking about feelings and emotions and things like that.
Feelings.
But when it comes to, you want to sing a verse? When it comes to business, though, I mean, can that really affect the bottom line?
Oh, you know, I'm so used to hearing that it's a touchy-feely thing. And unfortunately, there are people who really don't understand how it affects the bottom line, but it is affecting bottom lines all over the world. There's all kinds of research out there that are in case studies that show just how it does affect the bottom line. For example, back in 2002 or 2003, I think it was, Sheraton Studio City embarked upon a mission to improve several things, one of which was guest satisfaction. They wanted to increase their sales. They wanted to decrease turnover. So what they did was they actually trained their leadership and their desk front staff on emotional intelligence, and then they offered follow-up coaching for the next 6 months. And what happened as a result is they had the turnover went down by about 20%, guest satisfaction went up 8%, and market share went up 23%. So yes, it does impact the bottom line.
So Don, let's talk though about maybe some clients that you work with directly and some of the impact that you've had with them.
Certainly. Well, I don't want to name names, of course.
Of course.
But I will reference one in particular that he's just such a perfect example of a success story. And I've taken this off my website. So if you want to see the full story, it's under the results tab on daybreakeq.com. But this individual is a general manager for a division of a multi-million dollar company. And his division was leading the organization in profitability by about 60%. He was also leading the company in turnover by about 35%. So six key employees had left over the last year or two, citing him as the reason. So we started the engagement. We did a 360 assessment and basically found out that, you know, while he was super bright and he knew the business and they totally acknowledged, you know, how smart he was, but he knew it and he wouldn't let anyone else contribute. So the feedback I shared with him, you know, it's sort of a love-hate relationship. They love how bright you are, but they hate how you make them feel. So when we did the work, we ended up doing a survey at the beginning with his peers, and they're like, yeah, good luck. And then midway through, they said, wow, we see some progress. And at the end, it was, well, just how high can we erect the statue in your honor for the work that you did? And I said, well, yeah, time out. I didn't do anything. He did the work. And that's the secret of coaching is if you're going to coach someone, they have to be willing to do the work. So it's not about the coach. It's about the person being coached.
She makes this sound awfully simple, Mike. I mean, there's got to be more to it than that. So why don't you give our listeners a tip or two about how they can improve their emotional intelligence if something that you've said resonates with them?
Oh, okay. One tip. Let's see. Let me frame this up first before I give you the tip. There's a term called emotional hijack, which most people probably have never heard of. I think Daniel Goleman may have phrased it or coined the phrase. And what that means is you're probably familiar with the fight or flight response.
Yes.
Okay. So what that is actually your brain going on an emotional hijack where your emotions are hijacking your logical brain. And when that happens, we lose the ability to actually have cognitive thought processing. And sometimes we can't think or speak properly. We can't make good decisions. We can't problem solve. So there is a really good way for you to try to stop that process, because when that happens, you really can't have a good conversation. You can't be productive. And so what you want to do is try to get that logical brain back in gear so that you can engage in a good, thoughtful way. So a tip for that is to practice what we call mindfulness. Not sure if you've heard of that, but it's very similar to meditation in that it's the art of being fully present now without judgment and being able to experience what's happening in the moment now. So a way to practice that, and this is sort of an interesting little way. When you brush your teeth, what do you think about?
How I'm brushing my teeth.
Good for you. That's part of being mindful. A lot of people, when they brush their teeth, they think about everything they've got to do for the day and their mind goes in 25 different directions. If you literally stay focused on brushing your teeth and you keep focused on that, you are practicing mindfulness. In other words, you're having your mind mind you because you're staying focused on what you want to focus on rather than allowing your mind to wander. If it does wander, you just notice it, bring it back, no scolding. And you've essentially done a brain bicep. And what that does is that teaches your mind to mind you. And that enables you to stay fully focused in the moment. It's also shown from research that when you practice mindfulness, it makes your brain less reactive. It makes you more compassionate and more empathetic. It also reduces stress. It enables you to sleep better. So who wouldn't want that?
Who wouldn't? I want that.
I want that.
Well, in the time we have left, a couple more really quick questions. First of all, is there a sweet spot as far as businesses that you work with that you seem to really cater towards? Or, you know, what does your client look like?
I work with small to medium-sized businesses, sometimes business owners. A lot of times I work with leaders, but I will also work with teams. And it's really anyone who's experiencing challenges in the workplace. You know, emotional intelligence issues show up a lot of different ways. So it's organizations that might be having trouble with collaboration, communication, turnover, people working in silos, people not trusting each other. Employee engagement is low. They need to bring it up. Or employee turnover is high. They need to bring it down. Those are the kinds of things that are reflective of a need for emotional intelligence, coaching, and training.
All right. So for those business leaders that would like to reach out and find out more, maybe have a discussion with you to see if they need your services, how can they reach you?
Absolutely. They can reach me at daybreakeq.com or just send me an email, dawn@daybreakeq.com. I've also got a Facebook page, which is Daybreak Enterprises. And then, of course, a Twitter account, Daybreak EQ, or they can call me, 678-907-9491.
Absolutely. I feel like we just skimmed the surface, but great stuff, Dawn. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dawn Cook with Daybreak Enterprises here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Mike Roswell Infiniti is one of the original Infiniti dealerships in the country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfiniti.com or follow Roswell Infiniti on Facebook or on Twitter. I think they've got a lot of emotional intelligence at Roswell Infiniti.
They do, and some pretty good cars, too.
Absolutely.
All right, let's see if we can keep the show civil as we go to our third guest now. Mike Nolan's with Star Assets Security. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us all about your company and what you do.
Well, I guess, first of all, I'm here to maybe after Don gave such a great, inspiring thing to remind people that there are bad people in the world. And what we do is try to protect small businesses and large corporations in preventing thefts and employee incidents before they happen.
Okay, so how do you do that? What services, what products do you provide?
We actually have two separate parts of our company. Star Asset Security was founded in 1984, and it's a series of companies located within the Southeast that's been growing in Texas, Virginia, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. As part of how we grew, we realized that more and more businesses, small businesses especially, were going into the cloud. Traditionally, in the security industry, you would have a security integrator, security supplier would come in. They'd say, you need these cameras, these card readers, and so on and so forth. Then get a hold of your IT department, and we'll put them on the network, and therefore, they can all talk. Well, in theory, it sounds great. In reality, it's very, very hard. Because when you look at a security system and you look at the network, different bandwidths, different security concerns, and different things come about. So you have both your physical security and your cybersecurity. Unbeknownst to most people that you know, unless you protect your cameras and stuff like that, you can go online and you can get IP addresses and you can look at people's cameras in their home, on their computer, in other places. So we look at this as saying that we have the expertise in physical security as well as IT security because they're becoming one and the same. Everything that you see that could be hacked, hacked into, and you could lose credit cards, you could lose information on employees, you could lose trade secrets and everything like that. The same information is true about your security system.
So this is an interesting concept, Mike, because we're used to thinking about physical security and cybersecurity being two distinct disciplines, but you're merging that in terms of the way you approach a business and their situation, right? So. Yeah. Talk about, I'm a business owner, I'm hearing this, how do I look at myself as being maybe a candidate for the services that you provide? What do I need to look for?
Well, you need to look at the resources you have to manage it. You look at the resources that you have, and do you know anything about security? Do people within your organization know anything about security? It's very easy right now because cameras and card readers and stuff are relatively inexpensive. You just put a bunch of them up there. Well, how does that help you? If you have a lot of cameras and you don't have analytics, then how are you going to be looking at a bunch of dead space? So you look at all this stuff and you bring it together and say, what resources do I have? You also look at, again, unless you want somebody like Kurt to come talk to you, you look at my liability. What is my liability? So, you know, you want to combine those things, two things together, that if you have something out there, is it actually working? And there's a way, you know, and a lot of companies will monitor it and do this. But the way you look at it with video and with the alarm, that you're verifying that there is a problem and you're looking at it.
We're talking with Mike Nolan with Star Asset Security here on North Fulton Business Radio. Mike, what do you say to that business executive, business owner who goes, I don't need security. No one's going to try to hack my system. I don't have anything that's of value. What kind of conversation would you have?
Well, I would look at it as most incidents of security in small business is done by the employees internally. So therefore, you look at it and say, would it be better if I had a third party doing this? Because you can hack in there and you can do this. You can also, and in the cybersecurity world, there's also instances where people will open up an email and it'll hold you hostage until you call and give them a number in your credit card and then they unlock it. Just happened to a medical firm here in town not too long ago. So I think you look at those two things in conjunction because you have both, like I said, you have your physical premises, but also a lot of times you hear more data about somebody getting hacked into than broken into. On the broken into, you have a lot of liability as far as people's, you know, personal property.
So how do you lower the t- total cost of ownership. Talk about that concept, because we were talking about that a little bit before we came on the air. Talk about how you lower the cost of ownership.
Well, the cost of ownership is lowered for a couple of reasons. One would be the fact that you have the same company. You don't have multiple vendors. You have the same company looking at your IT services, your security services, you know, your IT security. So by combining those together, you have a synergy of the same people working on the same thing, making sure that your infrastructure within your IT is also capable of handling whatever security measures you have. When you look at how IT and physical security is going together, on the upper end, you know, in the large corporations which we handle, a lot of it's handled internally. On the lower end, we're working with a lot of businesses right now that you don't have, you know, if somebody traditionally right now, if somebody were to lose a key to a building, you as a small business says, okay, do I replace all the keys? Do I replace all the locks? Could be $800, could be $1,000, depending on the size of your building. We now have applications where you walk up with your smartphone, it knows that you're at the door, it knows you have credentials, and then locks the door. So therefore, if the guy leaves, not a problem. You can also look at the video on your smartphone. So that's the other thing, if looking at synergies. If you're at home, you can monitor what's going on in all your businesses through your smartphone. You can see what's going on. You could see if you have an alarm, false alarms, big, big expense for people. If you have a facility and the alarm goes off, if you pull up the video on your phone, then you can look and see, is actually somebody in there, or did somebody just leave the back door open and the wind's blowing it open? You know, in some instances, it's $400 or $500 after one false alarm. Sometimes in some certain, it's $400 or $500 right off the bat. So I think that's how you can do it.
So something tells me that this cost of this technology that you're talking about using smartphones for access, what have you, is dropping, so that the typical small business owner out there that maybe is comprises a lot of our listenership, increasingly they can afford some of the systems you're talking about.
Absolutely. And the beauty of this is you only pay for what you use. Traditionally, in the access control world, you'd buy a panel that would handle X amount of doors, or a video system that would handle X amount of doors. In this new world, then the business owner just says, I need two readers. I only pay for two readers. I don't have to allocate a resource to make sure I put new employees in. You know, on a small 10-person office, not a big deal, but typically this will go up to about 300 employees. Managing that, I cannot tell you the number of places I've gone into that they have employees that have access to that building a year or two after they're gone, completely gone. And they could walk up 24 hours a day and walk into the building and be...
Mike, I'm going to tell you something. You might want to sit down for this. Oh, you are sitting down. You're not the only company out there that does what you do. So I'll give you a chance right now to tell me, why should someone talk to Star Asset Security before they talk to anybody else?
Absolutely. Great question. I think the reason why is you look at the traditional managed IT services to say we do security. And those are IT people that go out there and say, we'll put a camera in each corner. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll put it on the network. When you're talking to Star Asset Security, my security experience goes back to 1984. A lot of my brethren, they do the same thing. Federal Reserve banks and other places with large security. So we look at it a little differently. We look at why are you doing it and what do you want to happen, as opposed to just the infrastructure of what you put in there. So the first thing you would do is you'd have a security assessment done and find out where your vulnerabilities are. You don't want to put everything out there, you know, just because that's, you know, I'll lock up every door and I'll do that. That may not be the way you do it. So I think that when our owner put this thing together, he realized he bought a company and everything was going to IT. He bought a video monitoring center in Birmingham. Well, everybody else outsources that. So the number one issue you run into is, how do you make those things talk? So by us having this service available, we then design the way to make it talk. So you're not using one party to secure the equipment, one party to do the managed services, one party to build your IT infrastructure. You have one throat to choke within this organization.
Mike, talk about, you mentioned free security assessment. I heard the word free, and I bet you a whole bunch of other people did. So talk about that, and talk about the types of businesses that you are particularly good fits for you.
Yeah. And again, the structure of Star Asset is unique in the fact that we can go to a large, we do very, very large corporations. So the security division, ION, would be that 1 to 300 range. And what you do is you go out there and you find out, you know, how many employees do you have? Are you better off with this traditional access control system, you know, where you don't have the reoccurring monthly cost? You just, you buy it, you manage it, and you do it. If you look at an area, if somebody's selling you one, they're going to want to sell you the other, whereas we're going to come out there and do an assessment and find out, do you really need managed services, or would you be better off the other way around? Or you want us to come out and install these cameras and the software, would you be better off going to managed services? So I think the fact that it's soup to nuts all the way across the board allows us to give you the best recommendation for your size of company.
All right, good stuff, Mike. For those that would like to reach out and find out more about your services, where can they get more information?
Absolutely. The website is www.securethinking.com. Also, our sister company, www.ion247.com. You can also reach me at area code 404-769-2297. And please give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about your security needs.
Great. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Mike Nolan, the branch general manager for Star Asset Security here on North Fulton Business Radio. Also, a big thank you to Don Cook with Daybreak Enterprises and attorney Kurt Hilbert with the Hilbert Law Firm here on North Fulton Business Radio. And I know it's North Fulton Business Radio because I look at the wall and I see the big Roswell Infinity sign, and that's by one of our partners, isn't it?
It sure is. It's by Apex Signs and Graphics, Mike, and they provide unique commercial outdoor signage, indoor signage, vehicle wraps, and graphics like the ones we enjoy in our studio. They also offer large format printing services. They work with customers nationwide as well as customers in Fulton, Cobb, Cherokee, Forsyth, and Gwinnett counties. For more information, go to apexsignsga.com.
All right. A big thank you to our listeners for joining us on the show here. Keep in mind that you can listen to this show anytime 24/7 by going to the website, NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. Not only will you find this show, but all of our other shows will be there as well. Go to Facebook and follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter or vice versa. I get it confused which one you like, which one you follow.
Like us, share us, do something.
Share, do all that good stuff.
Be emotionally good to us, right?
Exactly. Be civil, too. And our Twitter is NorthFultonBRX. John, I guess I'll see you next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Next time. Looking forward to it.
All right. For John Ray and our producer, Trey Odom, I'm Mike Salmon, and we will see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Point Executive Suites, we provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. And technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rates without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Our service is second to none. Visit our privately owned locations in Alpharetta or Duluth and see for yourself. Call us at 678-242-5200 or visit northpointexecutivesuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.